Welcome back to the Nerdcast Interviews. First episode in a while. It's been a little quiet on our channel. It's been kind of crazy for all of us involved with the podcast. But we're back. This week, I have an old interview I recorded with Marcus where we talked about DC Comics, the Young Animal imprint, and talked about Gerard Way's Doom Patrol and how it ties into the history of the Doom Patrol comic. But before we get to that, I talked to my daughters about the Supergirl and Flash TV shows and what they're expecting on a future DC TV shows. One of my daughters is pretty well-versed in the DC universe and is reading the Rebirth stuff, and the other one has gotten into it because of the TV shows. Before we get to it, though, this week's beer sponsor is Old Bakery Beer. I'm drinking their citrus wheat as we record this, and I've had a few of them tonight, so worth checking out. Very solid beer out of Alden, Illinois. Go ahead and listen and enjoy. All right, so I'm sitting here with
Kaylee and Madeline.
And they've really gotten into the DC television shows recently. So we watched Supergirl first. I'll start with Madeline. Why did you want to watch Supergirl?
Because it's a girl superhero.
A girl superhero?
Yeah.
And she's one of your favorites, right?
Yeah.
What about you, Kaylee? You'll watch any superhero, won't you?
Yeah.
What was your favorite part of Supergirl season one?
When she came to Earth.
When she came to Earth?
Yeah.
What about you? Kaylee, what was your favorite part?
I don't know.
You don't know? Seeing John Jones?
Yeah.
Because you're a big superhero fan. You love Young Justice and Justice League and just reading comic books. Say it loud. Say it.
And because his daughter is Megan.
Megan's his niece, according to Young Justice. Niece. Well, that's close. They're family, kind of, right? Which we learn later on, they're not. Besides Supergirl, who is your favorite person on the show?
Clark.
Clark was season two. Was there someone from season one you liked a lot more?
Wynn.
What about you, Kaylee?
Alex.
You like Alex, her sister? Okay. Who was the best person she fought against? Madeline?
I don't know.
You don't know? Kaylee? Best bad guy in the show?
Elektra?
The
girl that can go into the electric stuff?
It wasn't Elektra. Elektra's from Daredevil.
Who's that one that she was up in that helicopter and Supergirl, she made her a superhero?
Yeah, I can't think of her name right now. She's the one that didn't like Kat.
Yeah.
She was a pretty good bad guy.
She didn't like Supergirl
either. She didn't like Supergirl either? No, she didn't. You gotta talk loud so they can hear you. So, because you've watched Supergirl...
I was just reminding you.
Oh, you're just reminding me? Okay. Well, you should say it so everyone can hear you. Okay. So, because you like Supergirl, you started watching Flash. Which show do you like better, Supergirl or Flash?
Supergirl.
Kaylee.
I don't know.
You don't know? They can't hear you when you don't say anything.
But, I started watching Flash because my friends knew who killed Barry's mom, and I didn't. And I told them that I watched Flash, and they didn't want to ruin it for me.
So, you learned who killed Barry's mom, right?
Yeah.
Who was it?
Dr. Wells.
Well, it wasn't Dr. Wells. It was Eobard Thawne.
For people.
It's Eobard Thawne.
Eobard Thawne is the name. We're not spoiling it for people because at this point they've already seen it. You guys are behind everybody else. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I tell them at the beginning that we're talking about Flash. So if they haven't seen it, they're not going to listen.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. We're not going to give away spoilers. Season one of The Flash. What was your favorite part, Kaylee? You're being very quiet. All right. You think about it. Madeline, what was your favorite part of season one of Flash?
That Barry found out he was Flash.
When Barry found out he was Flash, so early on. What about you?
When he went back in time.
When he went back in time, which time? He went back a couple times.
The first time.
The first time? Because he didn't understand it, did he?
No, it was Yeah, it was the first time.
The first time? So, who is the best bad guy, Madeline?
I don't know.
You don't know? You don't have a favorite bad guy?
No.
Kaylee, what about you? Who's your favorite bad guy in Flash?
Actually, I know.
Oh, who is it, Madeline?
Captain Cold.
Captain Cold.
Dr. Light.
Dr. Light, okay.
But that's the season one.
That's actually season two.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Because remember, he dates Linda in season one, and then he finds out Linda in Earth 2 is a bad guy. You want to know something, though? Ready for your mind to be blown? In the comic book, that version of Dr. Light is a good guy. Whoa. In these shows, they've taken established characters and changed them to make the show better. So, like, there's Captain Cold and Heatwave, like we know in the comic book. But then Dr. Light's a good guy. And Vibe is a character. And Killer Frost. They're all from the comic books. They've just changed them a little bit to make them fit with the story. What do you think of that?
I don't know.
They're pretty smart? Alright, so, we'll go to season two. You guys are halfway through season two. What have you liked about season two? Obviously, Kaylee likes Dr. Light. Madeline, what do you like?
That there's... Barry gets to meet another Flash, but from World 2.
Ah, Jay Garrick.
Yeah.
Did you know in the original comic, Jay Garrick is the original Flash?
I didn't know that.
He is. They've changed it, so he's the Earth 2 Flash now, but that's how he was in the original. What about you? What's your favorite thing about Season 2 so far?
That they had the portal.
The portal? I thought it was pretty cool how they would go from Earth 1 to Earth 2, and they'd have the same people, but they'd be completely different. Like, Cisco was Vibe on Earth 2, mm-hmm. but he was a bad guy. And Caitlin was Killer Frost on Earth 2 and a bad girl. That was kind of cool, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What'd you guys think of King Shark?
I don't know.
He's big.
He was. Was he kind of scary?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was kind of cool seeing... He's a very obscure character. Not many people know him, but it was kind of cool seeing him in the show. What about when they sent the gorilla? What's his name? I can't think of it all of a sudden.
Grodd.
They sent him to Gorilla City, right?
Yeah.
Is that going to come back and bite Barry later on?
No.
You don't think so?
Yeah. It will.
Not to spoil season three, but they can still travel between Earths. So maybe Grodd comes back later on with a bunch of gorillas under his control. So what did you guys think when you saw Harrison Wells come back for the first time?
I was scared.
You were scared?
Yeah, me too.
Well, yeah, because you thought Harrison Wells was a bad guy, right?
Yeah.
But did he seem that bad after the Earth 2 Harrison Wells came back?
No.
No? Did you like him?
Yeah.
What about you, Kaylee? Did you like Harrison Wells when he came back? Or were you worried he was a bad guy?
I'm worried he's a bad guy.
Oh, well, yeah, because you guys haven't gotten all the way through yet. Because he's helping Zoom now, isn't he? Where you guys are at.
Yeah.
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 To get his daughter back.
Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
Wait till you see what happens to Jesse. Jesse's got a big part coming up.
And you told me already.
Well, yeah, but we're not going to spoil it for Kaylee. So, when you guys get caught up on Flash, what are you going to watch next? There's Arrow, and then there's Legends of Tomorrow.
I'll watch Arrow.
Legend of Tomorrow.
Why do you want to watch Arrow, Madeline?
Because then I'll see superhero movies before I see Legend of Tomorrow. Then I'll meet all the superheroes. Then I know all the superheroes.
So you want to have the setup before you get into Legends of Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense, because Adam and White Canary both come from Arrow. Mm-hmm. And then you already know Firestorm.
Yeah.
And then you learn some more. Oh, you know Captain Cold and
yeah.
Heatwave too.
Wait, Daddy.
Yeah.
Look. All right. Yep.
There's a difference.
Yeah.
Because it was bumpy.
All right. Well, here's your chance. Why do you want to watch Legends of Tomorrow before Arrow?
Because it has Barry in it. And it has all the guys from Flash.
Well, it's got Captain Cold and Heatwave. And Firestorm. But White Canary comes from Arrow. And Adam comes from Arrow. That's kind of a mix of the two. And you want to know something?
What?
Arrow, Flash, Supergirl, and Legends of Tomorrow all have episodes that cross over this year. So Supergirl will be in the other three shows. And the Legends of Tomorrow will be in the other three shows.
Huh?
So Flash is going to show up in Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow, and Supergirl. So, and Supergirl is going to show up in all of them.
So, like, Flash showed up in Supergirl that one time?
Yes. Somehow they're going to have to explain how all of them get to Supergirl's Earth. And they're all going to be in the same spot at one time.
Speed Force.
You think it's the Speed Force?
Yeah.
Well, he can travel dimensions, and he can travel through time. It's a pretty good guess. What? All right, Kaylee, you know a lot
and
of...
Because I saw the speed thingy on his chest.
You saw the speed thing on his chest? All right, here's where you're going to guess what happens. What DC characters are going to show, or you're going to see show up in these other shows at some point? What one do you want to see show up the most? I mean, you got Megan, you got Martian Manhunter, you got all the ones in Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow. Who do you want to see the most out of all of them?
Megan.
Oh, you've seen Megan.
I know, but I want to see in all of them.
But is there a character that hasn't shown up yet you want to see?
Canary.
Canary's already shown up in Arrow.
Daddy, there's a difference.
Don't worry about the difference in that. We're just talking. What character, like from Justice League or Young Justice, have you not seen yet in...
Kid Flash?
Okay. Well, you've seen Wally.
I know, but he's not Kid Flash.
Not yet.
He might be the same boy, but it doesn't mean he is Kid Flash.
You gotta get to season three. Season three, the current season. You're in season two right now.
Oh.
Stuff happens. I'm not going to spoil it for you. Yeah, Madeline.
I know what happens.
Madeline, who do you want to see from all the DC characters you know?
I already seen a bit of season three.
I don't know. Batman?
Batman. That's a good guess. We haven't seen anything from Batman yet. We've heard one mention of Gotham and Supergirl.
That's it?
That's it. We haven't even had Bruce Wayne show up yet. Batman's a good one.
Why hasn't he showed up if Gotham has?
Gotham, well, they mentioned Gotham. Somebody said they're going to move back to Gotham in Supergirl. That's all we've seen.
They're probably going to see Batman there.
Maybe. I want to see Harley Quinn. They've teased her on Arrow because they have Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
So they've had Deadshot and a few other characters. And in the background, they had Harley joking in a jail cell or laughing in a jail cell. But they haven't shown her because they went to the movie and the movies are separate from the TV shows. I know you guys don't watch Marvel TV very much, but Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah.
They have Ghost Rider right now?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And it's a different Ghost Rider than the movie, not the motorcycle one. It's a car Ghost Rider.
Car?
Yeah, he drives a car. And he's younger. But you know
Why
what?
Why would he drive a car?
That's how they set up the newest one in the comic books.
Cars are more boring than motorcycles.
Cars are more boring than motorcycles?
Yeah.
You haven't seen Nicolas Cage's Ghost Rider. He's a very bad actor that did Ghost Rider in the movies. But you know what they had just announced?
What?
The Inhumans is a TV show.
Yeah, I've seen it with you before.
Well, that was part of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but they are actually going to do the Royal Family.
What's that?
Do you remember an Ultimate Spider-Man, Trident?
Yeah.
The fish guy?
Yeah.
His family. Remember Black Bolt? Who they couldn't hear talk, or he'd blow up their heads.
What?
Yeah.
It's not blow up their heads. It's make a sound so loud that it can move a city.
That's well, yeah. not true.
Yeah.
That is true.
He did. He whispered peace.
When?
He whispered peace, and it blew the S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier back up into the sky.
And well, why did they even want it down?
Well, it was crashing. And he saved it from crashing into the city.
But it wasn't the helicarrier.
Oh, no, it was the Inhuman City.
I told you.
Atillion.
Yeah, because why would the helicarrier want to crash down in its own city?
I don't know.
Why did the city protects every single day.
Why did the helicarrier crash in Captain America Winter Soldier?
Because it was falling down.
Exactly.
I know, but it wasn't in that episode.
Black Bolt could have saved them, too, if they would have introduced him in the movies.
Yeah!
So, they just announced that the Inhuman Royal Family is going to have its own TV show.
What?
So, Black Bolt, Medusa, Gorgon, all those guys from that episode of Ultimate Spider-Man are going to have their own TV show.
I didn't know that!
Every single one?
Stop yelling. Do you remember? You don't even remember him, do you?
No!
Because you don't watch Ultimate Spider-Man with your brother and sister.
I still do.
A little bit. You haven't gotten that far. So, yeah. They're going to do the first episode or two in IMAX at the movie theater in 3D.
What's IMAX?
It's when it's on the big screen.
Oh.
Would you want to go see it?
No!
Yeah!
You don't want to see it?
I don't know. I don't really even watch it.
You watch the Marvel movies with me.
Captain America. I already finished it. But
stop screaming into it.
But I don't really watch Spider-Man.
It's all right. They're not just Spider-Man characters.
But I don't know.
They're characters from all different things.
After you get caught up on DC, we'll watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It ties into all the Marvel movies, which you've seen every single one of them.
What?
The Marvel movies. Captain America, The Avengers, Thor. You've seen
all
those. Civil War? All of them. All right. We're going to call it quits. When you're finished with Season 2 Flash, maybe into Season 3 and watch some Legends of Tomorrow and Arrow, we'll do this again.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye.
What is today, Kaylee?
My birthday!
How old are you?
9.
How many comic book movies have you watched? All of them?
All of them.
Which one's the best one you've seen?
X-Men Apocalypse.
Oh, you don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, I do.
We're going to end it on that.
No, we aren't.
It's not even the best X-Men movie.
Yes, it is.
No, X-Men 1 and 2 were better than it.
Yeah!
Days of Future's Past was better.
No!
Days of Future's Past.
Where they went back back in time.
No!
Called the Sentinels.
No!
Yeah!
Wait!
First Class was better. Deadpool was better, but you haven't watched it because you're too young.
No way. Not possible.
All right.
Let's see what time it is.
Say goodbye.
It's 8:20.
Bye.
Say goodbye.
Bye.
Okay, that wasn't necessary. They can be obnoxious sometimes. I'm sorry about that. So here we go with Margus and DC Comics.
All right. Fuck. I don't even have the excuse that I'm new at this. Damn it. Oh, I've been doing this like 10 years.
It's all right. I just took a little nap, so I'm a little groggy.
Oh, that's all good. Fucking. What are we talking about?
Comics.
Shit.
So, I just read Doom Patrol last week. And
which
I was
one?
The new,
The Gerard Way one?
Yes.
How was it?
I was completely lost. I've never read a Doom Patrol comic before in my life, and the little I know about them was from the Marvel DC mashup from, 20 years ago?
Oh, fuck.
The exciting X-Patrol or something like that?
Yeah, that's... Well, to be fair, one of the neat things about the Doom Patrol is it doesn't usually require too much continuity. But it can be daunting to get in, and they usually don't explain previous stuff to you very well. It's just a jump right in, and, hey, I thought the cast was different. Don't worry about it. Fuck, you know, just move on. They're kind of all, like, I guess the best way to describe it loosely would be like an episode of season of Black Mirror.
Okay.
You know, everything's consistent in its own little arc, but then when you look at the big picture... Or, you know, look at the 6 volumes of Doom Patrol DC's done. They're all different from each other.
So are the characters the same from volume to volume then, or?
I want to say that you probably get maybe two mainstays at any time. You get the chief, who's Niles Calder, the guy in the wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
And you get Robot Man, Cliff Steele.
Okay.
Other than that, you're usually seeing an entirely different cast. The Doom Patrol I read the most of was the Grant Morrison stuff, which is usually what people think of when you say Doom Patrol.
Yeah.
But they have a pretty long history in comics. They're an easy one to overlook, though. They go back to about the same time as the X-Men.
Okay.
DC launched a Doom Patrol fairly close to when Marvel launched the X-Men, and it's kind of an old wives' tale or urban legend about comic books that one of them stole the idea off the other one just because they both did outlaw superhero misfit teams at the same time.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's any truth. I think it's just a synergy thing. But, you know, a lot of people go, really? Because you got a super thinker guy on one team, and you got a telepath on the other, and you got a wheelchair, and, you know, I mean, blah, blah, blah. That's all babble, really. But Doom Patrol, fuck. Grant Morrison's run, again, that's the one that most people think of, the Vertigo stuff. John Byrne did a run, which, if you like John Byrne, you might be on board for it. I didn't care for it. It was too typical. It felt like every other kind of superhero book out there.
Yeah, I'll probably pass on that one. I might check out the Morrison one.
The Morrison one's good, but you might have to stick, like the first one, you might sit here and go, oh, what the hell am I doing? But Morrison's so established at this point that you know when he's going off in a tangent or in that far out, you know, drug mindset, you know that he's going to eventually have a payoff for it.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're reading that thing month, like, I tried reading it month by month when he was doing it because I've been reading since then, and I was lost. Fuck that book.
Yeah.
And then I went back and checked it out later, and I was all over it.
Now I have to go back and reread his Batman stuff to see if that changes my opinion of it.
It did for me, but at the same time, the reboot kind of fucked him.
Yeah.
You know, that New 52 was such a throw shit up in the air and see what happens. You know, it still bugs me that some books didn't get a clear ending and other ones did. And then, you know, I just don't like reboots.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, they've been around forever. I don't know how many times Spider-Man quit the Daily Bugle to never return again and then turn around and end up back at the Daily Bugle.
You know?
I mean, we get soft reboots all the time. And the Doom Patrol had several of them. That John Byrne run I mentioned, they started it up with the conceit that the Doom Patrol was brand new and nobody in DC Comics or continuity had ever heard of them. And that fucked up the Teen Titans because, again, DC's continuity lets Batman and Superman stay kind of young forever, but the Teen Titans are all established grown-up sidekicks. So if Batman's only been around for 5 years, how has Nightwing been leading the Titans for 6 years when he was Robin the third year in, you know?
Yeah.
The math starts getting all fucked up. Well, they tied Beast Boy into the Doom Patrol, and then when they put him over in the Titans, you know, it made the Doom Patrol seem like it happened 10, 20 years earlier, you know?
Yeah.
Fucking... And that's shit that you would think with the New 52 they'd straighten out. And no, they really didn't.
No.
Infinite Crisis used it as a plot point, too. Geoff Johns basically made the Doom Patrol a bunch of Titans, like wannabes and, you know, C-listers that they like Bumblebee
yeah.
and stuff like that. And then Giffen ran with them on Oolong Island, which was probably the best part of the 52 story. You know, did you ever read 52?
No, I didn't.
It's a showcase for the Doom Patrol. They have Oolong Island, which all the super geniuses and criminal masterminds get abducted, and they're building, like, super weapons on this island. And by the time it's all done, you know, somebody has to take care of this dangerous island. And I want to say it might even be, I want to say that they took over Kui 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 from the JLI and incorporated it into that island.
Hmm.
Which I don't know if I'm absolutely sure about that or not, but it sounds convincing, so let's say that happened.
Yeah, works for me.
But yeah, Doom Patrol's all over the place, and I'm probably not the best guy for Doom Patrol anyways, because I gave up on the book a lot.
Yeah.
There were stronger titles in the Vertigo stuff. Interestingly enough, Gerard Way did a kind of a Doom Patrol book independently, and he hit up Grant Morrison for pointers, and I want to say Morrison did the introduction, and that was Umbrella Academy, and that's a really good book.
That's something I've always wanted to read and just never got around to it. I've never found it when I was looking for it, so...
It's collectible now because Gerard Way's, you know, got that animal line, Young Animal at DC.
Yeah.
And it's, but if you have Comixology, you can read it on the Unlimited program.
I might have to look into that.
It's really good. It's very creative, and it's probably a little more accessible than most versions of the Doom Patrol.
Yeah. Well, I'll give this first arc of it a shot and see what I think.
Are you reading any of the other Young Animal books?
No, and I was going to ask you about those. Have you picked any of them up?
No, not yet. I usually wait for the trades, because, and this is kind of unfair, but right now, DC's, like, general line doesn't appeal to me.
Yeah.
It feels like there's a lot of sameness, and it's a lot of very typical books. So I've been heavy Marvel. Well, at the same time, there's a lot of Marvel books that aren't really paying off for me right now either. You know, I've got my Moon Knight, I've got my Black Panther, I've got my Vision, and then I pick up, like, Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur, my Inhuman stuff, the occasional X book.
Yeah.
But the stuff coming out from January from DC looks more up my alley. There's a Captain Atom book coming out.
Yeah, I saw that.
There's a six-pack and Dog Welder book coming out, you know, which just screams, you know, Hitman in Section 8.
Yeah.
So I'm in on, you know, so long story short, I haven't checked it out yet, but once the new year hits, I'll probably start looking through, like, Shade the Changing Girl.
Yeah.
Check that out. Because I was a big Shade the Changing Man when Milligan was on it.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff around the same time as Doom Patrol with Morrison, the Vertigo line was really solid. You had Sandman, which, you know, I mean, it kind of speaks for itself at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Shade the Changing Man, which was Milligan using insanity to kind of explore the United States. God, there were a lot of Grant Morrison did a Flex Mentallo series.
Okay.
Which you'll see, you know, his Doom Patrol references Flex a lot.
Yeah.
You know, there's just a lot of stuff in the Doom Patrol that you could do with these characters that you really couldn't do in other books. Even his Animal Man stuff, you know, stayed in the lines a lot more than his Doom Patrol did.
Okay, yeah, because I've read some of the Animal Man stuff, and I really like that, so... Yeah, I'll definitely have to pick up old Doom Patrol and see what's going on.
Yeah, the easiest is to just find Crawling from the Wreckage, which is his first trade, and you can just pick it up from there, and it's pretty accessible. Because I want to say the book ran for like a year and a half before he was on it, and it's pretty okay, but Crawling from the Wreckage is... The Anatomy Lesson, The Dark Knight Returns, The Watchmen. It's the defining arc.
Okay.
Collectively for Doom Patrol. And it's pretty accessible. They use Cliff as the point of view guy, you know, because Cliff's probably the most easily relatable character in the Doom Patrol. And then as it progresses, they start getting odder.
Yeah.
I want to say Crazy Jane. Crazy Jane's around in the Gerard Way one, right?
I think so. I'll have to go back and reread it. Okay. Especially after I check out the older stuff to kind of get familiar with the characters. Because I felt really lost reading the issue. But, I mean, I'm not familiar with it. I just grabbed it on a whim.
Well, sometimes that's the best time to tackle one of those books.
Yeah.
When I first got Shade the Changing Man, I didn't know it was a Ditko character, and Steve Ditko, and he had done all his, you know, crazy stuff, and when I checked out the book, it was just like, wow, this is great for a comic book, because
yeah.
At that time, I was very, like, tights and fights.
Yeah.
And Shade was a lot more cerebral than that.
All right. So you mentioned the DC stuff. You're not big on the Rebirth right now?
I'm not. Well, since the last time I talked to you on Rebirth, they've introduced like 12 more titles. I think they've pretty much gotten everything out there that they're doing. There's things I really like about the idea, but I feel skeptical about DC doing another course correction.
Yeah.
Yeah. Superman makes no fucking sense when you try to and I mean, I'm fairly knowledgeable on my comic book alternate universe bullshit and this and that. Every time I have a friend ask me about Superman, I swear to God I can hear them going cross-eyed when I explain, yeah, it's an alternate universe Superman that's sort of based on the old one, and now he's here, and everybody knows he's here instead of the one that died, and it's just a fucking mess, you know? And it's their flagship character, and the fact that they got their flagship character where he's complicated to explain just makes me fucking shake my head.
See, I didn't even have the appeal to pick that one up.
Yeah, I mean, because the first thing you think of if you read comic books, if you're not into Superman already, Superman's boring as fuck.
Yeah.
And if you are into Superman, you feel like you've already read the best stuff about him. You know, All-Star Superman's pretty much the best one.
Yeah.
If you're looking for an Elseworlds to read, everybody goes, oh, Red Sun. You know, that's... If you start with All-Star Superman and Red Sun, you're fucking set.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Superman, I have a real problem because Superman, again, flagship character, and you don't know what you're doing with them. 15 fucking Batman books. And they don't seem to explain the premise of Batman very well in the sense that I don't know what separates Batman from All-Star Batman from Detective unless I pick one up and start reading them. And some of them are really good. You know, but it's that accessibility argument. I don't know if this is for new, if Rebirth's supposed to cater to new readers or get the old guys back on board.
Yeah, and I've been curious about that too, because I mean, I'm pretty well versed in Batman, and that's mainly what I've been picking up. So, the timeline's kind of messing with me a little bit, because everything's kind of, well, Batman's out of town and All-Star Batman. But then Gotham Girl is in the Batman title, and then you got all the stuff in Detective, and it's just like, it makes your head spin a little bit. So I'm using my daughter, this is her first real exposure to Batman comics, as like my litmus test to see what a new person thinks about it. And so she's been reading them, and she seems to be, like, she's through Batman through, I think, issue 6. And she enjoys it, so she's moving over to Detective now. And so I'm curious to see what she thinks. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, Detective was the one I liked.
Oh, yeah, that's been my favorite of all of them.
How old's your daughter again? Is she 11?
She's 8, almost 9.
Oh, wow, okay, that's even cooler. For some reason, I had it in my head she was 11. But if she's 8 and following Batman pretty good, well, that speaks to the strength of the work.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, there's a lot of times in modern storytelling where you have a mess and you go, oh, Jesus, what's going on? Yeah, that's a pretty good litmus test if she's 8 and she can follow it.
Yeah, and it's a lot of fun because I get to sit we sit here and talk about them after the fact. And, like, I have someone to talk to about them now that right when I read it, I hand it over, she reads it, and then we can talk about it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, see, I had, back in the day, I would help my mom. And occasionally I would go and spend like a shift with my mom, and I would make her listen to the radio drama of Batman doing, it was like from Sword of Azrael and Vengeance of Bane all the way through Night's End. So it was like 3 hours of Batman radio drama. So by the end of it, she could identify who like Azrael was and, you know, Bane and all these like obscure second banana characters. You know, that was kind of neat, too, because my mom has almost no comic book knowledge. And then, you know, she'd see a picture of Azrael or something, and she goes, oh, that must be Jean-Paul. And I'm like, oh, fuck, yep.
Yeah, I was doing that with my wife with Walking Dead, but she's about 15 issues behind now, and it's caused us to get backed up on the TV show, too.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's so, yeah. My favorite part about Walking Dead now is just making up spoilers, because those TV guys take that shit seriously.
Oh, yeah, they do.
So yeah, every once in a while I'm like, oh, I hope they don't kill I hope Negan doesn't kill Maggie's unborn baby like they do in the
Yeah.
And then just watch the rage.
And it's funny because with Walking Dead, some people don't even realize it's a comic. Like, I was talking to a guy at work, and I was telling him about the comic, and he was just, like, you could have seen his head explode, like, in Scanners.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I take the digest in every once in a while, the big phone book size.
Yeah.
Shit. And I let my buddies read those, and they're all blown away, and they're like, oh, my God, Dale lasted so long. It was like, oh, yeah, man, that was a jaw-dropper.
Yeah, or
Tyrese.
Yeah, and Shane doesn't make it out of the first arc.
Yeah, Shane's already dead and buried by the time the first trade's over.
And
they held him for like 3 seasons.
And then Andrea too. Andrea's always the big shocker.
Yeah, well, because Andrea was my favorite in the comic, and I kept waiting for her to become a badass.
Yeah.
And I gave up on the show before that ever happened. I was like, I'm out.
Yeah. So you're reading more Marvel right now than DC then?
Yeah, but I mean that's kind of the New 52 thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was just kind of this isn't as good an excuse as any to drop off.
Yeah.
Because I was already teetering. I mean, if you remember back at the Inside Pulse boards, I was already pretty negative about the DC output.
Yeah.
And at the time, I kind of jumped all in on DC because the spider clone stuff and the One More Day.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, yeah, I'm fucking out. You know, I got pretty turned off by the line. And then DC did kind of the same thing. And, you know, the bad problem about trying to gauge it, because when Marvel does these type of big event stuff, they usually don't do reboots or restarts. So you can just kind of say, Fear Itself sucked, and you just pick something up afterwards.
Yeah.
When DC does them, you're stuck with whatever happened for 2 or 3 years until they do another big, hey, we're going to change our fucking continuity again. And it's harder to get past it for me. But I was like, well, okay, I hated it, but we'll see what happens. Oh, well, they're going to bring the Wildstorm universe into it, so that'll be cool. And it wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, so now I'm just kind of waiting for it to get back on board or something to catch my eye. And, you know, at least their TV's good.
Yeah, I'm all caught up on Supergirl. I've got just this season on Flash to get caught up on. But then I'm behind on Legends of Tomorrow and Arrow, which I'm not in a hurry to watch either one of them.
Yeah, I don't know that I could be either, to be fair. I pretty much gave up on Arrow ever since they turned Felicity from a geek into a, like, fucking love-struck, clingy girlfriend. I'm kind of out.
Yeah, and I always had a problem just getting into the show, period, because it seemed like a CW show.
Yeah, I think it's a fair complaint, because, I mean, okay, they've done Supernatural for 12 years. You've got Vampire Diaries or whatever the fuck they've been doing, you know.
Yeah.
There's a very tried and true formula, and it works. But when you don't experiment with it, it's just, you know, you've seen one, you've seen them all. I don't know that I need any plucky teenage female detective shows on the CW.
Yeah. You
know? I think I hit my quota there. But you know, I mean, there's Supergirl. It's easy to dump on, but I actually had episodes of Supergirl that I really, really enjoyed, especially compared to the year of Arrow, because Arrow was getting very dark again and very, you know, we take it super seriously, and Supergirl had that just the right amount of, like, idealism and stuff that made it kind of appealing, and they made choices. Now, I don't know if it's because it was CBS or because, you know, even of the character, but they made style choices that they, like on a CW show, Red Kryptonite, you know, we saw it in Smallville.
Yeah.
That's the excuse to go without a shirt. That's the excuse to make everybody a slut. And with Supergirl, they kind of made her more mean, yeah, and a little more human.
Yeah, angry.
And then had her just fucking horrified by it.
Yeah.
You know, that's good stuff. That's stuff you don't usually see in a CW show. And I thought it really worked.
Yeah.
If I had a complaint about Supergirl, it would have been that it seemed like her villains all were very cheesy and hokey.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean,
they
you
got
had
Superman dead on.
Oh yes, they did. He's been great the last few episodes.
Yeah, I was all for the guy they got for Superman. I'm like, oh, okay, fine. That's Superman. I can recognize him.
Yeah, I was a little skeptical at first because you're used to seeing the bigger guy in the movie, but he worked out perfect, I think. More the Christopher Reeves than the what we've seen recently.
And that was what, because Christopher Reeve, one of the things that made Superman so believable was he really took time with Clark Kent.
Yeah.
There's legitimate acting with Clark Kent. He's got his posture different. His mannerisms are different. He talks differently. He doesn't make eye contact. He's very mousy and intimidated. And then you get Superman, you know, that scene where he's on the balcony taking off his glasses, you know, doing the whole, Lois, I'm super, you know, that's acting.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time we don't get that. And especially with modern movies, because the secret identity thing, it's usually passe unless we're talking Spider-Man.
Yeah.
You know, that we get rid, like Marvel's gotten rid of most of their high profile secret identity stuff.
Yeah, another thing I liked about Supergirl is when they gave her the glasses, her adopted father said, these are lead-based, so you won't see everything that you would normally see. I was like, well, that makes a lot of sense for a secret identity. I don't recall ever hearing that before in movies or anything.
No, I like stuff like that, too, because speaking for myself as a dork, I don't want to see picture-perfect, scene-by-scene adaptions of stuff I've already read.
Yeah.
I want to be able to recognize the characters, but I want to be surprised a little bit, you know? When they first had Felicity show up on Arrow, I about jumped out of my seat, because I'm like, oh, shit, in the comic books, that's Ronald Raymond's stepmother.
Yeah.
You know, and so I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, and I love those Easter eggs like that, too.
Yeah, because, I mean, it doesn't change anything, and it does, you know, but it was nice to have, you know, a little bit of a Firestorm reference.
Before Firestorm shows up.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, and the Flash is kind of your sweet spot for all the Easter eggs now, too.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah, his dad and the Trickster and all the old show stuff.
Yeah, well, and I guess Legends of Tomorrow is going to play into that again, too, pretty tightly from what I understand. But I haven't been following that as closely either.
Yeah, it was cool seeing Hawkman and Hawkwoman in Flash and Arrow. But I just don't know if I could get behind the whole show of them.
Yeah, it's a... Well, usually that's something that you'd want really strong leads for, I would think, or it's stuff that fans are buzzing about. You put Captain Cold and Heatwave in it, and we're like, oh, we're excited. But then you go, nah, it's going to be mostly Hot Girl. And you go, you know, I mean...
Well,
I would have stronger characters in the middle of it, personally.
Well, and the characters they picked have such convoluted histories. It makes it hard for the comic fan to get into. Like, if you don't know the story of Hawkman and Hawkwoman...
Right.
It's hard to follow, especially with all the retcons they've done and everything.
Oh, God, you could do an episode on fucking the Hawks continuity all on your own.
Oh, my head would blow.
Just get a couple beers in and have the Nerdcast guys do it. Explain Hawkman to them.
Oh, I don't think Joe Dust would make it.
Well, dude, that's half the fun. Oh, I haven't seen Joe lately on Twitter. He's been quiet.
Yeah, we've been harassing sound guy Steve because he's in Vegas with his girlfriend. We keep asking if he's proposed yet.
Oh, shit.
It's not in the plans, but we like to give him trouble about it.
What are you guys doing about football now? You just following college ball, or... You still sticking with St. Louis?
No, not the Rams. We're pretty much anti-Ram. We do a fantasy league together, so it's more about individual players now than teams.
Well, that's the way around it then. Fuck.
Yeah, it's hard to get into the NFL now because they had so much to do with the Rams leaving. It really pissed me off. I'll just stick with... I'll stick with baseball.
My boys are still bad.
Yeah, we get a lot of KC stuff now.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
You guys are in Missouri.
Hey.
I'm surrounded by Niners bullshit constantly. I'm like, yeah, I'm fucking thrilled.
Yeah, Colin Kaepernick.
Oh, God, dude. Okay, here's a tangent. I have no problem with what the guy did. I don't have you know what? You want to kneel during the national anthem? Go ahead. You want to be a jerk? Hey, all right, go ahead. I don't know why they're making such a big fucking deal out of it. Because, first of all, this isn't Tom Brady taking a knee and, like, his record-breaking season and then refusing to fucking play. And, you know, this was a guy that looked like he was going to get cut anyways. You know, who said, hey, why don't I use a moment I have to take a fucking, you know, to speak out and give my voice a platform. Okay, cool. All of a sudden, I get every fucking hillbilly asshole screaming about this guy on my wall because it's disrespectful. And I'm like, what do you do when the national anthem's playing and you're at home watching? I stand up and I do the pledge of... And I'm like, bullshit, you do. You grab a beer, you get some shit, you do something, fucking anything. So you're mad that this guy sat here completely fucking quiet while you're, you know, blabbing about the anthem and what it means to you and blah, blah, blah. And then it turns into this big, ugly fucking thing because somehow it goes right back into fucking Donald Trump. And it's like, what the fuck does that have to do with anything? Yeah. Well, Colin Kaepernick can take a knee, Donald Trump can grab a vagina. Oh, fuck.
It's all the media.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's how you keep your fucking people watching and mad.
Yeah.
And dumb. But, yeah. Fuck them. Yeah, you can chop all that out or keep it. But holy fuck. I've never heard of people so angry about some guy, just little harmless gesture.
But yeah.
Fuck.
It's just amazing people still talk about it, too, because it's been, what, like 2 months? Month and a half?
I'm in Niners country, though, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's...
It's even worse.
All I hear about is Colin Kaepernick, yay, nay, and the fucking Raiders.
Yeah.
And the Raiders are usually cellar dwellers, so this year we just get a bunch of shit talkers. Yeah, it's... Oh. Fuck. Yeah, don't even get me started on football, motherfucker. I've just been having a stressed out year, man. Fuck.
Yeah. Well, between the Rams leaving and Mizzou football, which is like our big program nearby, it's just been a bad football year.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to say I'd hope St. Louis could pick another franchise up, but you're probably just going to get stuck with Missouri, with KC then, right?
Most likely.
Yeah.
There's talk that Jacksonville could move up here because their owner's from a small town in Illinois. It's about an hour and a half from here.
See, don't get me wrong. I'd love to go see a KC game in Arrowhead, but it's, at this point, the only reason that stadium seems to get any money is the fucking Royals.
Yeah.
And I don't follow baseball, but... Ugh. Yeah, KC's terrible.
And
they're my boys.
Yeah, they... They still get a ton of people coming there just from the atmosphere, though. All the tailgating, and they set it up right down there.
Yeah, fucking that. I've been to the Oakland Coliseum, and I'll never do that shit again.
It's all right. I've been to Rams games where the ushers tell you to sit down during the game.
Oh, nice.
Last couple years, that was the big thing, that they'd push the ushers to have people sit down during the game because they said people were complaining. But it was a way for Kroenke to make the game seem boring in St. Louis, so give them more reason to leave.
At that point, they're just looking for an excuse to fucking bolt anyways, so...
Yeah.
Oh, fuck them. Make somebody else pay for it.
Yeah, so every time we hear them lose here, everyone gets excited.
I remember I was going to ask you guys, what sort of convention circuit do you guys have there? Do you have any sort of convention presence going through St. Louis, or...?
We have a Wizard World that comes through every spring, and that's pretty much it big-wise. There's a few small local ones, but nothing major.
Yeah, well, I mean, because I've done the San Diego thing, but... I might have to try. My girlfriend and I have been talking about doing a trip cross country or whatever. And I was thinking, oh, maybe because she hasn't done any conventions.
Yeah.
I pretty much swore off Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Just because it's gotten so big. It's like 110,000 people in like an 80,000 person capacity building. So, I mean, it's just, it sucks.
Yeah.
It's a great experience and it's neat, but it sucks.
It's on my bucket list.
I'd recommend at least one convention. If anything, get you and your buddies there and go do something stupid. Fucking, you know, well, most of you guys are starting families now. But, I mean, go and, yeah, we won't complete that thought. Go there and play Hero Clicks or some shit, or fucking introduce Sound Guy Steve to fucking D&D or something.
See, that's the thing. None of us have ever really gotten into games like that.
It's, you guys are all like sports oriented, so D&D is basically just fantasy football for nerds.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, you guys, a convention probably would be right up your alley, because most of the conventions I've gone to, except with the exception of my buddies, you know, usually end up with everybody shitty drunk, 8 people to a room, and it's, you know, equal parts amazing and horrible.
Oh, yeah.
But I
used to do Chicago Wizard World 15 years ago. Went for a few years, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That, it's a lot bigger than what they do in St. Louis, because they had Marvel and DC and Image all come. They don't come to the St. Louis one. It's more about the artists and
Right. Individual
signings and then all the vendors.
Yeah, I might have to check something out like that, because that'd be a good excuse to fucking go out in that section and do something a little different than my usual, like, boring routine type thing.
Oh, yeah.
And get her exposed to that shit.
We'd set up a live recording session for you.
Oh, God, you don't want to do that.
I don't know what'd be worse for you or us.
No, it'd be worse for you guys. I could survive damn near anything.
I don't know if we get Steve wasted enough, he'll be back on the roof of their condo.
See, that's all right as long as he doesn't fucking jump.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Yeah, but yeah, to seg all the way back through all the round robin bullshit, Doom Patrol is worth checking out. Like I said, my big strength's that one particular run, but it's a very creative read. It's a very dense read. If you're reading it by trade, I imagine you'll have a lot of, oh, I better go back and read that one again, because I'm not, you know, quite sure exactly what happened. Because sometimes a little Morrison goes a long way, and I have the impression that their editor just said, hey, you know what, you do whatever the fuck you want. And he did.
Yeah.
But it's definitely one of the more creative books.
Though, is it on par with his X-Men?
Well, you know, I don't know that that's fair, because that X-Men book gets shit on by a lot of people. I think it's one of the best X-Men runs ever.
It was very unique for the time, because everything was just the same, and then you had that, which was the opposite end of the spectrum.
Well, there's stuff about the Grant Morrison run of the X-Men that is so logical that it just blows my mind that it took that long to do. Like Xavier being outed as a mutant.
Yeah.
That was amazing, because that makes perfect sense. Why is the foremost mutant rights activist in the world hiding the fact that he's a mutant?
Yeah.
Especially since he gets beat up and attacked and assaulted and punished for being a mutant sympathizer anyways. So why isn't he outed? It makes him a big hypocrite. You know, so I was glad that they did that.
Yeah.
I like the period of the school being an actual school again. Because I think Lobdell ran for like 4 years where not an issue went by where you didn't have some X-Men sitting there talking about how the Danger Room used to be there to train them, but now they're soldiers for a war.
Yeah.
Or some bullshit like that. You know, Grant Morrison pushed the envelope. He had mutants who had, like, Beak. Beak is one of my favorite X-Men because his mutant power is basically he sucks.
Yeah. And you didn't see mutants like that very much, which You would figure there'd have to be somebody with shitty powers.
Well, you get Jean Grey, who's a, you know, hot redhead underwear model, most powerful mutant in the fucking world, and then she's crying about how difficult her life is because she's a mutant, and it doesn't really ring true. You know, it's like, it kind of sounds very first world problem when you have Jean Grey talking about how being a mutant's made her fucking, you know, just miserable.
Yeah, and it's been a while since I've read it, but I felt that pushed Cyclops forward as a character, yeah, too.
Without Cyclops getting that examination he did, he would still be the Xavier flunky.
Yeah.
And for as much as ever, oh my god, they always erase Grant Morrison's run when he leaves, a lot of that shitty drop stayed in play for 10 years or so. Jean Grey is still dead.
Yeah.
Cyclops and Emma were still, you know, on again, off again, but they were still a couple. You know, the Stepford Cuckoos were still around. Bendis ruined them, but, you know,
yeah,
they're still being used. Cassandra Nova, you know, yeah, I really like that run.
Yeah, and, I mean, without that, you don't have Cyclops become the mutant messiah or whatever they tried to push him as for a while.
Yeah, well, they did fine with him as the general, and then at some point, Cyclops became the new Magneto.
Yeah.
And I think part of it was because they really wanted to push Wolverine as the face of the mutants, so you kind of got to make Cyclops go away at that point. But again, the Young X-Men shit's kind of all fucked that up.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan. I like the wrinkle, but I think they should have gone away at this point. Because, I mean, okay, we have two Icemen, and neither Bobby Drake's really doing anything significant.
Yeah.
We have two Hank McCoys, only one of them's really doing anything significant. We have two Angels, one's basically retired, and the other one is kind of acting like the other one does anyway. You know,
yeah,
it just feels like it's a lazy way to have two Cyclopses and two and have another Jean Grey.
Yeah. Jean, you know, you have Jean back, you have young Cyclops pouting about old Cyclops. Yeah.
Who may or may not be dead, by the way.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it just, it feels like a cheat. And it, before I liked the creativity and the wrinkle of, oh shit, here they are from the past, and it's a good way to look at where they are and where they're going. But now it kind of feels like they've overstayed their welcome.
Yeah. I actually felt like that pretty early in that run, too.
Well, again, I don't know that Bendis is really suited for team books. I mean, the guy sells a billion copies, so what do I know?
Yeah.
But I've always found his solo books to be better. And so far, I keep getting disappointed because every time he gets one, I keep expecting it to be like Alias or Daredevil.
Yeah.
And it usually isn't.
So, sticking with Bendis, did you ever read Powers?
Yeah, I love Powers. Powers is worth checking out if you haven't.
Yeah, I read all the Image stuff. I haven't read any of the stuff since he moved it over to Icon.
Oh, see, yeah, I haven't read much of that either. I get behind, and I go, oh, I'll wait for a collected, and Powers is so delayed most of the time anyways.
Yeah.
Was that you or Maddie that was reading Vigilante?
Wasn't me.
Okay, it's Matt. Poor Matthias.
Did you
got some good DC material.
Okay. I might have to check that out. Did you watch the Preacher TV show?
Nope, I skipped it. I watched the pilot, and I was like, yeah, this isn't for me. And I had friends, oh my god, no, it's so great. And I'm like, okay, enjoy it, I'm out. And then it's just making fun of Ryan Connor.
Yeah.
Because I know he's the Preacher TV show's biggest fucking fan.
Yeah.
And I'd appreciate if you put that in these notes. Hashtag Ryan Connor, biggest Preacher fan.
Oh, I'll do that.
TV show. Yeah, fuck yeah. And then, like, put Blood Feud in there.
Oh, of course.
Fuck that guy. Fuck you, Ryan Connor. But, yeah.
So, what about the Powers TV show? Did you watch that?
I really enjoyed the Powers TV show. I know it got shat on for not having the budget, but I like Eddie Izzard. I liked Wolf. I like the way that they set up the show. I thought keeping Michelle Forbes around as Retro Girl was a nice, you know, kind of surprise. I was pretty invested in it.
I I need to watch it. I saw the first episode. It was on one of the, like, Crackle or something. And I got so excited, and I watched the first episode, and then it was like, that was it. They just had the one episode of it.
Do you have PlayStation Plus?
No.
I was going to say, I know it went on the PlayStation Network.
Yeah. No, I don't have that. I need to find a way to watch it.
Do you have Amazon Prime?
No. But I know people that do, so...
Okay, well, fair enough. I'm checking right now to see if it's... I know you can buy it per episode on Prime, but that's pretty drastic.
Yeah.
Well, which I did, but...
Yeah, I did that with Walking Dead for a while.
Amazon Prime just did a Tick pilot that was fantastic.
Yeah, I heard about that, and I want to check that out.
Yeah, you definitely want to watch The Tick. Especially if you had any love for the Patrick Warburton stuff.
Oh.
Or the Fox cartoon.
Yes, I watched both of them.
Okay, well, this time around, because Edlund's still involved, and this time around, instead of just redoing what he did before, the guy they have playing The Tick has this manic gleam in his eye whenever he's fucking running around doing his thing. And there's a certain darkness underneath the material this time around that's very close to the printed comic, but without being very cynical or grim and gritty or any of that crap. So it's definitely worth checking out, and you'll get to see Jackie Earle Haley as the Terror.
Nice.
And that's just fucking great.
Yeah. Trying to think of what else. I never watched Constantine when that was on.
I like that one. That one was one of my favorites.
Yeah.
NBC's a really weird spot to put that show, though.
Yeah, and they... What, it was on a Friday night?
Yeah, well, Death Slot.
Yeah. And then what's the other Vertigo one that was on Fox? Lucifer.
Oh, Lucifer. Yeah, I don't watch that. Okay. I was out when I heard, because I like Mike Carey.
Yeah.
He's a personal favorite. And I was kind of hoping that would give him the time and focus to do the last Felix Caster book he said he was planning. And instead they do Lucifer, and I'm like, well, okay, with Sandman coming out, Lucifer is a pretty good pick. And then I find out, well, no, except for now we're going to make Lucifer a cop. And it's like, I'm out. I don't need another cop show.
Yeah.
Just give me Brimstone back, and I'd be good with that. But, nope, we're going to do Lucifer as a cop, so I'm out. And I know that they're working on an Oz, a grim and gritty Oz, that's going to be a cop show. Mm. So Dorothy's going to be a crooked cop, and the Cowardly Lions are partner type of thing, and it's fucking weird, but...
Yeah, I don't know if I could get into that.
Yeah, because, well, the idea is, I think the pitch they were going for is something along the lines of Once Upon a Time.
Okay.
But tell the Wizard of Oz story using cops and modern settings and shit like that. And it's like, I think that's too, just really kind of too dumb. Of course, then we're talking about a Fox TV show, but it just feels too dumb to really jump into.
You mentioned Once Upon a Time. I had not watched that. Is that really like a Fables ripoff?
I think it's more soap opera than Fables.
Okay.
You know, I watched about the first season with my girlfriend, and it's reminiscent of Fables in the idea that, oh, fairy tale creatures are real.
Yeah.
But from there, it kind of goes more into, like I said, more the soap opera and relationship stuff than Fables does.
All right.
Are you reading Ever After?
No, I'm not.
Ever After is pretty solid. It takes place at the end of Fables.
See, I'm only, I think I'm on the 7th or 8th trade of Fables.
Oh, shit, you got a ways to go.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I won't say shit about that then, man.
All right. Yeah, don't spoil that for me.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed it.
Good, too.
Yeah?
Which is one of the Fable spinoffs focusing on the women.
Yeah. Yeah, eventually I'm going to pick them all up. We have a used comic book place that they'll have trades for $3 or $4.
Oh, nice.
And I'm always on the lookout there for Fables. That's how I picked up most of Preacher. So, yeah, the stuff I missed out on, and go back and get it cheap.
Yeah, I've ended up doing the digital thing, and I thought it was going to be really hard to get on board because of the whole natural pack rat comic book collector thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, digital's the way to go now. I don't know the last time I've actually been in a brick-and-mortar store.
Yesterday.
Nice. Well, if you got a good one nearby, support them because they need the love.
I did
my stuff through mail order.
I did the mail order for a while, but I figured the discount they offered wasn't worth it for the little amount of stuff I was getting. And then we had a family friend who opened a shop, so I started going to their shop even though it's about 30, 40 minutes away from me.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So I go about once a month.
Yeah, see, I was doing the whole... Back in my heyday, I had like 65 books a month on my pull list.
Yeah.
And so I'd go in there and blow a paycheck at a time.
Yeah, I used to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I have a life, so that doesn't happen.
Yeah. I used to work in the same parking lot as my comic book shop. So I'd go to the comic shop, get my comics, and then read them on my break. And I did that every week, and I'd spend $50 a week just to have entertainment at breaks.
Yeah. Well, you find a good one, and it's money worth well spent. Some of the Image books lend themselves really, really, really well to stuff like that. Saga?
Yeah. Yes.
Saga's a good break book.
I love Saga.
I want to say I read... Low, I think, is a break book where I just read it on my breaks. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Black Science.
Yeah, I read the first arc of Black Science. That was good.
Yeah, Black Science is worth reading.
I'm trying to think of what else I've gotten. I was reading Morning Glories for a while.
I like Morning Glories.
Yeah.
I have Deadly Class sitting here. I haven't gotten around to reading. Though.
Oh, the first two arcs of that are really good.
Yeah, see, I can't get all comic book snobby right now because I'm so backlogged. Yeah, I've been following Black Panther, which I really enjoy. Moon Knight, but I was in for Moon Knight anyways.
I picked up the first three issues and I've really liked it, so I'm going to go back and pick up everything else.
Oh, Moon Knight?
Yeah.
This new book's really, really solid.
Yeah. It's one of the few Marvel ones I'm getting right now.
Like I said, I don't know if you've been listening to my nonsense when I've been recording it, but my friend Simone is really into Moon Knight.
Yeah.
She just got Lemire to sign her a bunch of stuff.
Oh, wow.
She wrote a letter to letter to the book, and it was a good letter, and Lemire just loved it, so he sent her a bunch of stuff.
Oh, wow. That's very cool. Yeah, my Marvel stuff right now is pretty much limited to Old Man Logan, Deadpool. Gosh, I think that's it. That's probably the lowest my Marvel...
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited by the prospect of what happens after Secret Wars, but I haven't been excited about the books.
Yeah.
I check, because every time Comixology has a sale, I'm like, oh, $2 for the first, you know... Ultimate Spider-Man trade. Okay,
yeah.
I'll get that. And then it's just Miguel. It's basically Miguel on Marvel Prime. And it's like, well, how's he here now? Well, he's just here now. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Well, his family's here, so what? Are they merged? Well, his mom's alive. What the, you know, how does this happen? Oh, don't worry about it. He's here now. That's the important part. And I'm like, well, I don't feel very connected to Miguel anymore. So... You know, whatever. And then the others, like, I know it's popular to hate on the female Thor. I really like the female Thor. But every once in a while they do something weird in story that's just like, it's so bizarre that I don't get why they did it.
And like, that's kind of weird because Jason Aaron's usually a pretty good writer.
Well, yeah, well, it's not bad, but it's like, okay, Thor gets mortally wounded by a magic bullet and she's dying. And then all of a sudden, Jane Foster appears out of nowhere and treats the wound on Thor. And Thor's like, how the hell did this happen? And then you find out that it's the hammer. Mjolnir has turned itself into Jane Foster to perform surgery on Thor so she wouldn't give up her secret identity. And then she turns around and gives up her secret identity to the people that saw her performing surgery anyway. So it's like, what the fuck was the point of any of that?
Yeah.
You know, I don't get it. Jotun's son gets his own book. I'm interested in that.
See, I've never been a big Thor reader.
The JMS run was really good, where they brought Thor back from Ragnarok and had him repopulate the Norse gods and find what mortals they were hidden in. He had a really cool throwdown because Tony Stark shows up after Civil War and Thor is pissed about the idea of being cloned by someone he considered to be a buddy. And that's a pretty solid ass-whooping.
Huh. I might check that out.
It's not bad. It's a good standalone issue. If you just, like, Google Thor kicks Iron Man's ass, chances are you're going to get that book.
Yeah.
And Iron Man just looks like a bitch. It's not even funny. But I'm getting a signal, sir. So I'm just pee-whipped enough that I've got to get off here and see what my girlfriend's motioning for.
No, that works.
But thank you very much for talking to me, listening to me ramble.
Oh, not a problem. It's always informational for me.
Duh. Well, I have a lot of fun with you guys. In the next couple weeks, I'd like to hook up with you again and start getting some more talks done. I'll send you guys the topic list.
Oh, yeah.
I definitely want to get the fuck away from this election.
Oh, it's the worst.
Well, you know, on one hand, I'm kind of tickled because during the midterm elections, there's like one other guy that has any sort of opinion whatsoever. And it's like, okay, yay, you know. And then this presidential election has just been everybody fucking pissed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I'm ready for this shit to be done. Because regardless of who wins, I have to live with all these people. So I just assume not, you know, fucking be at each other's throats all the time.
Yeah.
But, all right, man, it was good talking to you.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
All right, you have a good one.
All right, you too. All right, so there it is. You can find Marcus on Deadpan Fury Presents Wow Jizo. Really great podcast. He does a lot of short stuff, so it's pretty easy to listen to. The Nerdcast guys will be back. We're recording in a couple weeks from now. We'll have a couple episodes that we record that night. We'll have one episode out before then, hopefully by the end of this week. And next week, I'll be back with an interview with the brewer from Exit 6 in St. Louis. Joe and I are going out there, and maybe Toner if he gets off his lazy ass. You can find more stuff from us at nerdcast.com. It's nyrdcast.com. We don't have much on the website right now, but I'm trying to get back into the habit of posting. I'll be doing a lot of off-season Cardinal stuff and trying to get some beer stuff up there as I can, too. You can find us on social media. Toner occasionally posts stuff on there. Nerdcast, NYRDCAST, on Twitter and Instagram. And we're on Facebook, too. Anything you find on Twitter will be on our Facebook page. Until then, we will talk to you later.